searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
Good morning and welcome in to the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host here for this Friday edition of the program, this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hopefully your week's been a good one and you're looking forward to a great weekend. A couple of days to unplug, relax, do stuff, and just enjoy people and take your mind off of the craziness that is life in the world around us. And hopefully you can do that. Glad you're along today. Thanks for being there. Looking over the list of things for today, which is not as easy as I would hope it would be because my list of things for today is locked up. You know, I had this problem with not long ago where I would open something on my computer. I have links in my, I have a word processor with all of my show notes in it. And I would go to the word processor, click a link to open the story, and it would just sit there. The little ball would spin. And for those of you on Microsoft computers, the hourglass just keeps turning over and over and over. So it's just stuck in a loop. And so I'm having to improvise this morning. So I've got all kinds of stuff open. I've got computer screens everywhere. I've got an iPad open with stories on it. It's going to be a challenging morning. Hopefully things will go a bit better as we move forward. So how are you today? Are you doing well? Everything okay? You good? I hope so. We've got a weekend ahead of us. As I said, it's an opportunity to unplug and to connect with your family and friends and to do the things around the house that need to be done, you know, mowing the grass and such. Hopefully you can, as long as the weather holds. We're in that summer loop here in the Southlands, at least we are, where it's raining a lot. And sometimes that just makes it too wet to do the stuff outside that you'd not like to do, but hopefully you can. And what else is there? Boy, there's just, the new Toy Story movie is out. I know a lot of people would be going to see that. Isn't it interesting now that adults, I'll just say it that way, adults, rational, reasonable, logical, honest, right-thinking adults would prefer to go to see an animated movie about a bunch of toys than anything else that's on the screens today. And it's not because they're taking their kids or their grandkids. You go look at the stats and you'll see grown-ups are taking themselves to the movies to see these toys. And it's because Hollywood is so depraved, they can't make anything that the American people will identify with. When we identify with something, they say, that's just blah, 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 blah. They make excuses, and then they keep making more slasher movies and horror movies and violence movies and movies steeped deeply in sex and all kinds of things that most people aren't interested in and most people don't go see. And the box office tells the tale. It tells the story that most people are looking for distraction, laughter, entertainment, and fun. And they're not looking for somebody to preach at them when they go to the movies. And trust me, I there are other places I would go to be preached at and pay close to $10 a pop to go be preached at. I'm not going to do that at the movies. If I want to go and spend $10 a ticket and then add another $25 or $30 on top of that for a couple of small drinks and a popcorn, yeah, that's how much it costs in case you haven't done that lately. And that's because the theaters make all their money, the vast majority of their money at concessions. They don't make a lot off ticket sales. That goes back to the production people, the movie studios. It's expensive. And it's expensive. And on top of that, it's expensive and you're unhappy when you leave. So people don't do that anymore. They just don't do that like we used to. And you would think that Hollywood would take the hint. Go where the money is. Make family fun movies. Go where the money is. People want to laugh. They want to have fun. And that's why Disney's Toy Story 4 will make big money this weekend. Big money. you just check back on Monday morning. We'll take a look at it. And what else have we got? Oh, there's just so much to talk about today. I hope, hang on here. Let me see if I can pull my list of stuff up here. Yeah, I've got a list of stuff, and as usual, I'm not going to get to everything, but we have a state senator who's basically threatened gun confiscation. I hope I can get to that. George Takei, he's proven again and again and again that he's not well connected with reality. He's agreeing with AOC about concentration camps on the southern border. Hopefully we can get to that. In Alabama, former Chief Justice Roy Moore has thrown his hat back into the ring again. He's going to run for Senate again. I think I've already said all I have to say about that. If you're new to the podcast, my partner Dave Mack and I have had Chief Justice Moore in our studio on a few occasions. We've spent some time with the man. We've gotten to know the man, and he's a likable guy, and he's a very knowledgeable guy. And we watched what happened when he was running for the Senate seat, and both of us were looking at each other with an eyebrow raised, because this all seemed very out of sorts for the person that we knew. And granted, it's not like we, you know, looked across the fence at him every day. We don't live next door to him, and we don't hang out all the time, but this is somebody we got to know a little bit early on, and it just didn't fit. It didn't click what people were saying. And then when all of it was over and Doug Jones had won, all of a sudden everything went away. Gloria Allred disappeared. The accusers all vanished. And it just made it even weirder. So I think that's what's going to happen now, is that everything from the previous campaign is going to be drug up again and thrown back at him again. And it's just going to make things in Alabama nasty. Now, I have friends who say that we need to stand behind him. And I don't disagree, but at the same time, I want to raise a finger and say, yeah, but just realize, if you're going to stand behind him, that this stuff is going to come up again. And worse, because they used him as a test bed. They tried to nail him down, and they succeeded in keeping him from winning. And then they went and did the same thing. They've made accusations against Trump. They've made accusations against Justice Kavanaugh. This is a page from the leftist playbook. And you know that, because when they win, they scuttle off back onto their rocks again and get prepared for their next thing that they're going to do. So I think I've said all I need to say about that. Let's just see how it all plays out, because he's a likable guy. I just think he might have been a bit out of his depth, and may still be a bit out of his depth, as far as how nasty campaigns can be, how evil they can be. We'll see. What else do we have? The Peace Cross. We haven't talked about that much here, but the Peace Cross is back in the news again. And we'll see whether that was really a victory or not. What else? Oh, yeah. Let's start with this. The witness reparations hearing. At the reparations hearing. I talked about this earlier in the week. And now there's another person who was at this reparations hearing I want to talk about. And this is because, well, you'll understand. Coming to us from PJ Media, economist and political commentator Dr. Julianne Malveaux, a witness at the Congressional Subcommittee hearing on reparations, said white people are not evil, but they're ignorant when it comes to the history of slavery and racism in the United States. She said this: when people talk about, we've already paid reparations, I've heard people talk about the fact that white people died in the Civil War fighting on the side of the North. Well, the North was also a beneficiary of enslavement, quite frankly. So no, reparations have not been paid. And the fact is, again, some folks may want checks, but what we're really talking about is closing that wealth gap and making people whole. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. Under questioning from Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, the Democrat from Texas, by the way, who's possibly the the densest person in Washington, D.C. Malvo mentioned the GI Bill as an example of the federal government's past discrimination against African Americans. She said fewer than 1,000 black men were able to go to college on the GI Bill in Mississippi. Quote, Congress has indifferently, essentially, sidelined black people from the opportunities that they created for white people, plain and simple. Sidelined us from those opportunities, and that's why it's time now to talk about how to fix that. I don't like to think that white people are evil. I think that white people are ignorant. I think that white people do not know what the history is, and I commend you all to look at the history and the work you've done in the past and then challenge you to do the right thing. Other witnesses at the hearing included actor and activist Danny Glover, a multimillionaire, by the way. He's doing quite well. And a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador for the UN Decade for People of African Descent, as well as former NFL player and author Burgess Owens, who, by the way, took them all to the woodshed. Sheila Jackson Lee, by the way, is the lead sponsor of H.R. 40. Senator Cory Booker is sponsoring the companion bill in the Senate. Let's go back to that statement she made. So, no, reparations have not been paid. And the fact is, again, some folks may want checks, but what we're really talking about is closing that wealth gap and making people whole. She says two things here. Well, she says three things. She says reparations have not been paid. Let me address that first. I said the other day there were 620,000 lives lost during the Civil War. Over 300,000 of those were from the North. Over 300,000 of those were from the South. Let's just cut that in half and say half of them, the Northerners. So the lives and the blood of 310,000 people was not enough. It's not enough. Then she says some folks may want checks. She's acknowledging the fact that some of the people who are fighting for this, standing for this, screaming for this, want money. It all comes down to cash. They want somebody to put green in their hands. That's what they want. And finally, she says, but what we're really talking about is closing that wealth gap and making people whole. The wealth gap. She just revealed who and what she really is. She is a socialist. She's talking about socialism. She's talking about social justice. Closing the wealth gap. Soaking the rich, taking their money, and giving it to the people who are not rich. Closing the wealth gap. This is what these people are about. This is about the redistribution of wealth. And that's all it's about. It's about wealth redistribution. These people are socialists. They want to take from those who have created, who have earned, who have built wealth, and who have enabled others to do the same, who were willing to do the work necessary to learn how it's done and then do the same themselves. She wants to take the money from the people who have generated, created jobs in this nation and give it to people who just punch a clock every day and are complaining about not making enough money. This is what this woman and these people are about. This is not about paying for any damage or any hardship or anything else. This is about wealth redistribution. At its core, that is what this is. It's just one more ruse. It's another scam. That's all it is. 620,000 people, Americans, lost their lives, shed their blood. 620,000 people never went back to their families. 620,000 people died in order for us to finally put an end to slavery in America. Because that's what it all boiled down to. You can argue anything you want to, but what it boiled down to was the right to own slaves and to do with them as you will. 620,000 people. But she doesn't want us to think about that. She wants us to take from the rich and give to the poor. And that redistribution of wealth shows us exactly where these people are coming from. And that's what it's all about for them. More on the other side of the break as the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Hi there. And please, don't take me the wrong way. I'm not a racist person. I've told you the stories before about growing up in the South and about how up until Obama ran for president, people were really doing very well. We were getting along. Everybody, the people in the South had left this racism stuff behind. And then somebody comes along and starts running for president, and the race baiters, these guys who make their living off of keeping people angry, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, people like that, they stepped back into the spotlight again and started making people angry. And the people that we worked side by side with, the people that we went to church with, the people across the backyard fence started having trouble talking to us. And we started noticing them cutting us off in traffic and glaring at us and getting dirty looks from people while we were shopping and the like. And suddenly there was animosity and there was distrust and hatred and all of these things. And it all came, all of it, every last bit of it, was stirred up by a man who ran for president and his tools in the race baiting industry, who wanted to get people stirred up. It was all about social justice and pitting people against one another. And by the way, make no mistake, that's all social justice is about. Social justice is about pitting one group against another group in order to divide people so that a government figure can step up and be the healer and the hero. That's what social justice is about. It's not about getting anybody anything they deserve. It's about dividing people so that someone can step up as a government figure and play the part of a hero. That's what it's about. It's about dividing a nation so that government can control it. And we're a nation where we're the government. And they've done a very, very dandy job of re-educating the people so they don't understand that. Remember, here in America, we govern ourselves. We send people to represent our interests at the national level. And then we make a mistake. We go, we watch the campaign, we make a judgment, we go to the ballot box, we make our choice, we send someone to Washington, and then we turn our back and ignore them. We let them do whatever they're going to do. We don't pay attention to what they're up to. And they may be great people when we send them, but then they find out very quickly that being great people and representing the people that voted for you and sent you to D.C., doesn't get you anywhere. People of integrity stand tall, and they keep representing their people. But sadly, those people in the world of politics are few and far between. And so we have people who go to Washington, D.C., and then they become the experts. And they firmly believe that the people who sent them there don't understand how things really work. And they become more and more progressive. And as I've told you time and time again, progressives wholeheartedly believe that they are morally and intellectually superior than to the unwashed masses. So they know better than you and I. What they know better is the game of politics. They don't know life. And you and I, we're the ones who are mowing our own grass. We're the ones who are in the factories building things. We're the ones who are in offices keeping things ticking in businesses. We're the ones who are farming. We're the ones who are doing everything that keeps the nation moving. The people in D.C. are pushing paper around and acting in front of cameras. And they need to understand that we see through them. And when they seek to manipulate us, emotionally manipulate us, we need to call them on it. And that's happening more and more and more often. For example, The Blaze has a story about what happened on CNN. CNN anchor Allison Camerota, she's not shy about venting her left-wing views, particularly her bias against President Donald Trump. It seems little changed on yesterday's edition of New Day, which featured a panel of six Democrat voters. Four of the panelists, two black men and two white men, voted for Trump in 2016. And among those four voters, both black men still support Trump. Both white men said they regret their votes. After a black panelist who didn't vote for Trump noted that the black community has become extremely fearful because of all the injustices around the country under his administration, a black panelist who did vote for Trump and still supports him shook his head in frustration. With that, Camerota asked Daryl Wimbley why he seemed to disagree. He replied, "It just amazes me. This is 2019. The race relations and the way that we perceive, the way we say things are happening in this country, I don't see it happening." Camerota hit back. She said, "In terms of statistics, there's been an uptick in hate crimes." Wimbley answered, "You can say that. I truly don't believe it because I don't see it. I can statistically say anything, but I don't see it." Camerota then invoked the Anti-Defamation League, saying the organization charts hate crimes. And then Wimbley unloaded. Quote, "The Anti-Defamation League, the Southern Poverty Law Center, to me those are democratic institutions that will say and manipulate anything. Racism is not microaggression. Racism is something painful and hurtful, and when we take microaggressions and turn it into the country is against black people, we're literally slapping people in the face that went through real racism." But Camerota apparently wasn't taking a cue from a man of color who told her what racism is. She pressed him, "And did you see Charlottesville as a microaggression?" Wimbley answered that he saw the Charlottesville, Virginia riots as, quote, "two groups of people that came to fight and do something bad," end quote. Oddly, Camerota seemed to try cornering Wimbley by asking, quote, "good people on both sides you saw?" That, of course, is a debunked left-wing talking point claiming Trump called neo-Nazis at the deadly riots good people. He didn't. He said specifically, "I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis. I'm not talking." He said specifically those words, but the leftist news cuts that out every time they play the tape back. And Wimbley wasn't taking the bait. He said, "I saw two groups of people that came together and fought. And both of them were equally wrong." The LA Times transcript regarding Charlottesville indicates that Trump actually said, "I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists because they should be condemned totally." Even CNN's Jake Tapper acknowledged Trump wasn't calling those groups good. So, Allison Camerota, a white woman, who used to work for Fox News, by the way, years ago, she's showing her really true progressive colors by talking to a black man who's actually seen the real world around him and has made a judgment about it. He has seen that the things they're claiming are happening really aren't happening. There's a few little dust-ups and people trying to start things, but all of this that they're talking about doesn't seem to really be happening. And he's right. Allison Camerota, CNN, MSNBC, and the rest of the leftist press make their money off of advertising. Advertising is sold based on the number of viewers and the length of time they watch. The more sensational news reporting can be, the more people they attract and the longer they watch. Do you see the connection? And so, producers of the news programs for these cable news outlets focus on making things as sensational as they can, because that gets people in airports to look up from their mobile devices and look at their screens. That makes people at home turn the eye of the stove down and step into the living room to see what's up on the TV. That makes people, wherever they are, stop what they're doing and watch. And the more sensational their approach is, the longer they watch. The more people watching and the longer they watch, the more they can charge for advertising. And that, as they say, is that. It's the bottom line. The bottom line is always the bottom line. When it comes to the news, it's money. Never forget that. This is why I tell you all the time, find more sources for information. Don't trust the cable news and the network news. Don't trust them. Be very selective, and soon you start getting a good grip on what's real and what's not real. Soon, you begin to develop an understanding. You get a good gut for it. But it takes a little work. But you've got to do the work. And we'll do some more of that work after the break, when the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hopefully you're having a big day today. I'm having some technical issues. Won't get into that. I'll just say that if you're on the live feed, on the Facebook live feed, and your audio is cutting in and out, it's because I got something squirrely going on here, and I'm not really sure why, but I'm keeping an eye on it. And your solution is to, after the show, go grab the podcast edition of the program, because it's going to be just fine. It won't have the audio dropouts. And what's going on is that, okay, let me just delve into nerd world for just a moment. Will you forgive me for doing so? What's happening is that my show notes document is an iCloud document, and iCloud's doing something weird this morning. It's iCloud is Apple's online file storage system, and for some reason, when I try to access anything on iCloud, I get the little spinning ball, beach ball of death, and the show notes document is an iCloud document. Now, oddly enough, I can open it on my iPad and I can see it there, but on my main computer, which, by the way, is doing a lot of work. It's feeding the stream as well as the other things I'm working on. It's just, I think it boils down to this old computer not being up to the job. And I'm always looking for solutions to that. But just so you know, that's what's happening. And I've just moved completely away from that. I'm not going to be using the main computer to source the iCloud documents anymore. I'm just going to pull them up on the iPad. Okay? All right. Let's see. What else have we got? Oh, speaking of Nerd World, make sure you get the newsletter today, the Daily Perspective newsletter. You can sign up for it by going to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. In the right-hand column, there is a sign-up form. Fill out the form, answer yes to the email that confirms you're signing up, and you'll get the newsletter each day. It is it's all of the notes that I use, the links that I use for articles and the like, and the little observations I'll make as well, because I'll try to put notes in underneath the links to highlight various things. And the good thing about this, as I've said before, is that each article actually has other links in it that send you to other sources of information. This gives you the opportunity to dig beyond the highlight show that is the news. Because I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you're watching or listening to news on television or radio, what you get is 20 to 30 second snippets of what's going on, maybe a minute. They may spend a minute or two on a story and then they move on to other things. Unless there's a way they can spin that story into something really sensational they believe people will keep watching or listening to. So that goes back to what I was saying before. So it's best to do your own research. And that's one good thing about the show notes is it's hardcore research. It's articles that give you a jumping off point to other sources of information. So you can really look at what was said and what happened. Instead of letting somebody else chew your food for you, you get to chew it yourself and get all the nutrition. And that's the way that works. There's a story that's been bouncing around in the news for a while about the Peace Cross. And I haven't said an awful lot about it because it's just been, hey, we're fighting about this. We're going to win this. So there, you know, forces from the left are trying to kill this, and we're trying to fight for this. And there really hasn't been a lot to talk about. And now there is more to talk about. And this is coming to us from Herman Cain over at westernjournal.com. It says, you never learn anything there is to learn from headlines about Supreme Court rulings. Your side may win, but the result for the parties to the case is the narrowest of matters. The broader matter always concerns the implications of the case for constitutional law. And to learn that, you have to look at why the justices ruled the way they did and what they said about it. And what he's talking about here is what I was just talking about, going beyond the surface and the soundbite stories. That's what he's talking about. You have to dig deeper and find out what really happened and why. So it looked like good news when we saw the headline that the Prince George's County Peace Cross in Maryland was going to be allowed to stand, despite complaints from atheist groups who said it was an unlawful, publicly sponsored display of religion. A 7-2 ruling to let the Peace Cross stand sounds like a huge and great development. It sounds like two of the court's liberals joined the conservatives in standing up for religious liberty. But that 7-2 ruling makes you wonder, what had to happen within this ruling to get two of the liberals on board? As it turned out, the ruling contains a lot of reasons to be concerned, since in order to get it, the justices had to take the position that the cross is not necessarily a religious symbol at all. The court noted that while the cross has its roots in Christianity, it currently appears contexts that are indisputably secular, such as trademarks for Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Bayer Group, and certain products from Johnson & Johnson. The court also made a distinction between keeping established monuments with religious symbols like the Peace Cross and erecting new ones, stating familiarity itself can become a reason for preservation, and the passage of time gives rise to a strong presumption of constitutionality. So the court didn't really rule that it's acceptable to erect a religious symbol on public land, which would have been the ruling more in keeping with the original intent of the Establishment Clause. What they ruled, in essence, is that the cross shape is almost immaterial to the display, and that it can't really be connected to the crucifixion of Christ. In other words, this isn't really a victory for religious liberty at all, because only by separating the cross from its religious significance did the court find its way to let the Peace Cross stand. A more welcome ruling would have been one that recognizes the public co-option of a Christian symbol that does not violate the Establishment Clause, because it does not amount to a law establishing an official religion of the state. Just because your city or county chooses to express an idea using a Christian symbol and thus implicitly affirms the value of that Christian symbol does not mean your city or county has established an official religion to which you are compelled to belong. Of the justices, or if the justices had ruled Prince George's County had every right to erect a cross, knowing full well it was a Christian symbol, because such an action did not endanger the right of any citizen to make their own free choice about religion, that would have been a powerful landmark ruling. And it would have had the virtue of being consistent with the original intent of the First Amendment. Instead, in order to survive, the Peace Cross had to be redefined as about everything but the real meaning of the cross. That's not really that much of a victory. And that's right. It's absolutely right. In order to convince liberal justices to let this symbol stand, they had to persuade them that this was really not about Christianity at all. It's just a symbol. Even advertising is using symbols like this. And I'll tell you something. In today's society, the reason that flies with these liberal justices is because a cross today is just a piece of jewelry. Watch television. You'll notice people wearing crosses who you know have no personal connection to the meaning. You'll see them in sports. You'll see them in movies and television shows. You'll see people wearing pieces of jewelry. And in their real lives, and in their films, what they represent is anything but what that cross truly stands for. And people have become so conditioned to not acknowledge the truth of the symbol that they just let that slide. Oh, it's a piece of jewelry. It's a cross. Well, what does it mean? It's 14 karat gold. And that's about what it means to them. It's something that they liked. They like the look. Well, it gives me comfort. Really? Why? I don't know. It's a symbol of peace, I guess. Now, what they're talking about is not what it's really about. And if you've got two liberal justices joining on board, then you've had to abandon the true meaning. On one hand, it is a victory, though, because the leftists don't get to tear down a symbol of faith. And that in itself is a good thing. And I like to look at it that way, while remembering that in order to achieve that victory, a compromise had to be made that I really wish didn't get made. You probably feel the same way. I'm glad the Peace Cross gets to stand. But I wish that they had taken a stand for the First Amendment as it was really, really written, and make the point that just because this was erected and it stands does not mean government is establishing a religion. It's acknowledging one, but it's not establishing one. And that's where these people get everything wrong. And oddly enough, they want people to worship government, which is weird. Because government is its own form of false religion. More on the other side of the break when the Daily Perspective continues.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. Hopefully you're having a great day and looking forward to a fantastic weekend. I mentioned earlier grabbing the podcast version of the show. There are lots of places to do that. You can go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and just listen to it there. It'll play right from the website. You can also go and subscribe on iTunes and Google Podcasts. You can also listen to it on SoundCloud. It's there. I upload it there every day as well. And you can also listen to it on Spotify. And those are the places you can listen. It is also you can go to the markandmacshow.com website and listen there. And there are links that get posted when everything is complete to Facebook and Twitter. So I'm trying to give you every way you can to get your hands on the show. And really the best way is if you're listening to the live feed on Facebook each day, then you may want to go ahead and find, hang on a second while I pause that. I don't want that playing. Stop. If you're listening every day on Facebook, then what I would do is also subscribe to the Daily Perspective podcast through iTunes or Google Podcasts. And that way you get it coming to you each and every day. Okay. All right. Now, where was I? Oh yeah. Let's go back over here. I think I've got things squared away so things aren't going to die on me again. I mentioned this earlier on that there's a state senator who has actually teased somebody about full confiscation of guns. For years, anti-Second Amendment gun control advocates would routinely seek to reassure skeptical gun owners. You got nothing at all to worry about. Nobody's coming to take your guns away. Well, more recently, a growing number of the gun control crowd have been more honest and forthcoming that, yes, their proposals to further restrict firearms and the rights of gun owners will indeed include a confiscation. And a Democratic state senator in Illinois is now the latest to expose her true intentions. The Lake County News Sun reports that Democratic Senator Julie Morrison and Democratic State Representative Bob Morgan, both representing the Deerfield, Illinois area, held a town hall on June 11 to address questions and concerns from constituents following the conclusion of the legislative session. While several different topics were discussed, Morrison's support and sponsorship of gun control legislation was one of the more fiery issues. Perhaps unsurprisingly, the News Sun utterly failed to even acknowledge Morrison's commentary on gun confiscation, which the pro-gun Illinois State Rifle Association captured on video and posted online. Of particular concern to one attendee who isn't identified at the town hall event was Morrison's introduction of a bill known as SB 107, which sought to effectively ban the possession, purchase, sale, or transfer of any and all, quote, assault weapons, end quote, in the state. Those included a vast majority of semi-automatic rifles, shotguns, and even pistols. The rather draconian legislation, which named and banned no fewer than 63 particular firearms, made it a felony for any resident to knowingly possess any banned weaponry unless a fee was paid. And the firearm was registered to the Illinois State Police, along with other hoops the gun owner must jump through to avoid prosecution. Breitbart noted that the gun owner expressed the concern that this legislation would lead directly to the confiscation of formerly legally purchased and possessed firearms, a charge Morrison initially attempted to deny. She said the idea wasn't to confiscate already owned weapons, but merely to prevent the sale and possession of any new weapons. The gun owner said, "You want me to turn it over to the state police unless I pay a fine for each firearm and register them. Then I get to keep them?" Following her twisted logic, the gun owner asked, "If I get to keep it, if I pay a fine and register it, then how dangerous is it in the first place? And why do you need to ban it at all?" That drew a moment of applause from some of the audience, until Morrison snarkily replied, "Well, you just maybe changed my mind. Maybe we won't have a fine at all. Maybe it'll just be a confiscation, and we won't have to worry about paying the fine." Ooh. Let's let that sit there for just a moment, shall we? Well, you just maybe changed my mind. Maybe we won't have a fine at all. Maybe it'll just be a confiscation, and we won't have to worry about paying the fine. Holy moly. That's kind of crazy. Representative Morgan attempted to dance around the issue of confiscation and argued that the registration fee didn't actually constitute a fine, an argument the gun owner was unwilling to accept. Morrison chimed in by suggesting the registration of firearms was no different than the registration of vehicles. But the gun owner accurately noted that vehicle ownership was a privilege and not a constitutionally guaranteed right like gun ownership. The gun owner is right to be concerned about Morrison's gun control bill, and he is correct that should he decline or fail to properly register his previously legal firearms, that is now retroactively rendered illegally with the state police, he would face fines and prosecution and the confiscation of his legally possessed property. It has been said before, but bears repeating. Registration leads to confiscation, which will inevitably lead to bloodshed, as many gun owners will refuse to comply with unconstitutional registration and confiscation schemes, which would, ironically, be enforced at the barrel of the same types of guns deemed illegal and too dangerous for the citizens or society to allow. Wow. So, what we have here is a leftist politician who finally admits, yeah, that's what we're all about. Who says, well, maybe we should just go ahead and confiscate them. So, that's what they're really about. Maybe we should just, that's almost like saying, it's a nice little business you got here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. Yikes. And the attitude, just the general attitude, the condescension, the how dare you challenge me attitude. It's like I've said, and I keep saying it again and again because it's true. These progressives, they honestly, sincerely believe that they are intellectually and morally superior to everyone who isn't in their camp. And this one just demonstrated that. She didn't like being challenged. She didn't like being questioned. And she threatened the man with gun confiscation because he challenged her on the constitutionality of what she wants to do. She wants to do something which is unconstitutional. It's illegal. She can't do it. Bless her heart. She wants to confiscate. She can't do it. I think she knows she can't do it. But that doesn't matter. What she knows she can't do, she doesn't want anybody else to know she can't do. And so, she attempts to distract. And in distracting, she shows just how far she will go in order to accomplish her goals. Bless her heart. She is a true progressive, and she's been caught. And hopefully, a lot of people see this article. Hopefully, a lot of people will understand what it's all about and see through people like her for what they really are. They're power hungry, and they believe they are superior to everyone who disagrees with them. This is why we can't have progressives in control of government in this country. Because they don't want to be servants of the people. They want to be rulers of the people. Time to go. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday when the Daily Perspective podcast returns.
Well, off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?